The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Thank you. Well, it's a real delight to spend some time with you all tonight. Can you all hear me okay? Yeah? Okay, good. A little up, yeah? How about now? A little lower? I hear a little bit of echo. What about now? Well, you can raise hand or let me know if you still have trouble. So I've been teaching a Sati Center course with a few friends in the last few weeks. And the topic of the Sati Center course is spiritual friendship. And the Pali term is Kalyanamitta. And so I thought I'd share some reflections and thoughts about this particular topic. And in the sense that we're here together, it's a form of a Kalyanamitta, spiritual friends. So for me, Kalyanamitta, our spiritual friendship, really is the way in to my Dharma path and the Dharma life. When I first came to the United States many years ago now, I was in college. I was very fortunate to somehow stumble upon a Pure Land group, a Buddhist group back in Minnesota, where I did my undergraduate school. And it was a period of time that I was struggling socially. I just came to the United States and didn't have any friends, and had a lot of challenges with the language and different culture. And so I was very fortunate to somehow stumble into this particular group of people. And how they behaved and what they did and what they discussed and talked about were very intriguing for me. And so they were very generous, and they practiced generosity, and they practiced not killing any living animals and living things. And I was really intrigued about this, because I came to the United States because I thought I got to get a good education, get a good job, make a lot of money. That was good, what I was here for. So seeing a group of people who actually dedicate themselves and practice virtue and ethics and being kind and generous, those were not on my mind. So when I saw this, I was really intrigued and thought, wow, this is amazing. And people actually do this and really practice this. So I was really inspired. And just with that little seed, I wasn't with this group for very long. But for however long I was with them, they really inspired me. And how they were kind of showed me a beautiful way of being or living their lives that I didn't kind of encounter before. And because of that, and because of that seed that was planted in me, I began to kind of just, everywhere I went and looked for groups like that so to hang out with. And I was fortunate to be able to find groups like that in graduate school. And when I came here to the Bay Area to work, I continued to find groups like that that inspired me and taught me a lot of things that I really kind of didn't care about and did not know about, and that they really, over time, changed my life. And so in that sense, Kalyanamitta was my way into my Dharma path and the Dharma life. And then this term, Kalyanamitta, Kalyana is translated, there are many different ways of translating it, but the common ones are that of good or virtuous. Sometimes it's also translated as beautiful. Mitta is that of a friend or a friendship. And so Kalyanamitta is really about good friendship or beautiful friendship and or virtuous friendship. And I'm fond of a Chinese translation of this term, which is a little odd, but it's translated as can be something like virtuous or good. But the friendship, it's actually using a term as someone who knows, has some knowledge. And this is, so I think what it's pointing at is, and this is the form of a friendship where the friends is pointing at or having a knowledge of something that that we may not know, but can shine light for us. And so, so the term wasn't necessarily using the common friends or friendship as a way to translate, but rather straightforwardly, it's basically someone who's virtuous and who knows. So that was a kind of interesting when I saw the Chinese translation of this term. And so in the ancient text and in the Buddha's teachings, and there were several ways that the sutta kind of defined what Kalyanamitta is. In one of the suttas, this is the context of is that a group of lay people who were talking to the Buddha, and they told the Buddha and said, "Oh, you know, we are all lay people who really enjoy sensual pleasure, and we have garlands, we love them, we have perfumes and makeup, and can you teach us something that so that we can live happily in this life and in the future lives?" And then Buddha is very interesting. The Buddha didn't quite just say, no, that's not what he's supposed to do. He didn't say any of that. He just said, well, if you want to know this, so there are those four things that lead to the welfare and happiness of a person in this life. And that is the four things. And out of the four things is this a good friendship, or Kalyanamitta, as one of them. And then he defined that, what is this good friendship? It's when a person resides in a town or village, and in that place there are householders or their children who may be young or old, but are mature in conduct, accomplished in faith, ethics, generosity, and wisdom. That person associates with them, converses, and engages in discussion, and they emulate the same kind of accomplishments in faith, ethics, generosity, and wisdom. This is called good friendship. And so the Buddha, without t- telling this group of lay people to do anything so drastically different from what they wanted to do, you know, which is enjoying their essential pleasure and living the happy life. But the Buddha is saying, well, if you hang out with this kind of people who are mature in conduct, accomplished in faith, ethics, generosity, and wisdom, then you have a happy life. And so what this seems to be saying is also that if you're doing the right things, it didn't matter that you didn't want enlightenment or freedom. But if you're doing the right thing, you're going to move in that direction after all. And so if you're hanging out with this kind of a people who are mature in conduct, you know, what I understand or my interpretation of this is that who has a very virtuous, pure conduct in how they live their lives, who have a faith in Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, and who have a strong ethics, who are generous and who are wise. And so if you hang out with them, and you have a lot of happiness when you emulate them, right? When you really kind of behave as such. And in a couple of other suttas, that it's also pointing at this same direction. And this is one that the Buddha talked to one of the bhikkhus or the monastics. And he's pointing out that as one of the external factors that moves one towards the true well-being, the Buddha said, I do not perceive another single factor so helpful as good friends. For a monk who is a learner, who has not attained perfection but lives aspiring for the supreme security for bondage. And monks, a monk who has a good friend abandons what is unwholesome and develops what is wholesome. And so this reminds me of a Chinese saying that we have this idiom that speaks something like for those who are close to the red, you become red. Those who are close to the dark or the black, you become black or the dark. So I guess what this is pointing at is, you know, we are oftentimes influenced by our environment, to who we are with. And the Buddha is really pointing at this. But what I also wanted to point out, though, is that in this few different definitions that I kind of looked into in how the Buddha defined the spiritual friendship, it's clear that this is not the kind of a friendship that sometimes we associate with. And so sometimes we make friends because we like certain kind of people, or we don't want to be with the people who we don't like. But the Buddha's teachings on spiritual friendships is not necessarily about likes and dislikes. And we can have wise friends, spiritual friends, who we may not necessarily like, but they can be really helpful for us. Because they may be able to point at the things that we do not necessarily see and very truthfully. Where if we are being with only the people we like, we may not really see things that we should be seeing that actually will lead to some deep sense of well-being. And so this is not necessarily about simply differentiating people who we like or we don't like, or the kind of friendship that is more or less kind of like a transaction or exchange, you know, give and take. You know, I do this, you do that to me. and so this is the kind of friendship is actually broadening ourselves out up and becoming more expansive and open. And so spiritual friendship is quite important at the very beginning of our spiritual life. When it's kind of the analogy of this is like, you know, when we're babies in our spiritual development and in the Dharma path, you know, we probably can't even walk properly, still wobbles when we walk around. And so we need a lot of help from others who help us, support us. And so this is true in developing our spiritual life as well, and when our spiritual faculties are not particularly strong, and we're going to need support and help from others. In one of the suttas that we discussed in this last few weeks, this is about a sutta that talked about the stories of one of the Buddha's attendants called Makiya. I assume this story happened when Makiya was probably still new in his practice, but he's Buddha's attendant. So the story goes that Makiya one day went to alms food, and he came back after finishing the alms round, and he walked back to the Buddha. But as he was walking back, and he saw a beautiful mango grove. And he thought, wow, you know, isn't this great place for me to be, to meditate? And so he came back and talked to the Buddha, and he said, oh, Buddha, I really want to go there to meditate. And I saw this beautiful mango grove, and it's really conducive for meditation, and let me go there. And he asked the Buddha three times. Then Buddha said, no, you should not go there right now. And just wait for a while and for others to come. But Makiya said, well, you know, I really want to go. I want to go there and meditate. And then so the Buddha, after asking him for three times, he said, well, since you said you're going to meditate, what can I say? You go. So Makiya went. And he sat, but then he struggled a lot. And so this is what he said. So his mind was full of struggle. He said he was harassed by these three kinds of bad, unskillful thoughts, sensual, malicious, and cruel thoughts. So he couldn't meditate. And so he came back to the Buddha later on at the end of the day. And the Buddha told him that Makiya, when the heart's release is not ripe, five things helps it ripen. And out of this five, the first one is that a monk has good friends, good companions, and associates. And when you have good friends, good companions, associates, you can expect to be ethical. And you can expect to take part in talk about self-effacement that helps opens one's heart. I take this as kind of when you have good friends, you can become humble and open your heart in some way. And you can also expect to have energy for giving up unskillful qualities and embrace skillful qualities. And you can expect to be wise and have wisdom, which leads to complete ending of suffering. And so that was what the Buddha said. And it's also interesting when I read this sutta and realizing that Buddha is really saying when our mindfulness concentration muscles are not quite strong and our heart's release are not ripe, allow this other good friends practice to kind of support us, move us in a way that I sometimes feel like when we practice, we can feel that this practice seems to be so personal and so individual, you know, because it's all me doing it and trying it, striving. But in a way, what the Buddha is also pointing at, that this practice is not that personal. If we really open it up and wise, we begin to allow other people's goodness and the forces of qualities in other people to move us, to support us. And so we're always being shifted and changed, shaped by the people around us. And this is also the case when we're practicing along the way, that this other sutta that also points in the same direction, and that Buddha's another attendant, which is commonly known, a lot more commonly known, is Ananda. Ananda is the Buddha's cousin. And so Ananda has been a Buddha's attendant for many, many years. And so one day, Ananda talked to the Buddha and told him, well, Buddha, I reflected that there's a holy life, half of the holy life is good friendship, good companionship. But the Buddha corrected him. And so Buddha said, oh, no, Ananda. The entire or the whole of the holy life is good friendship, good companionship. And then he explained to Ananda that why he said that. And he said that the person who has good friends, the good friends cultivates the noble Eightfold Path, then you will cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. And so it's a very consequential thing, being connected with good friends. And so these are a few examples in the sutta that kind of stood out in me. And if I reflect upon my own path, this certainly has been the case as well. I think I wouldn't have been able to practice all by myself. And just being with others who's able to shine lights in different ways really has been a tremendous inspiration for me. And just seeing you all here on a Monday night, it's a great inspiration and brings much joy in my heart. And as we develop our spiritual qualities and our aspect of ethics and concentration mindfulness become stronger, Kalyanamitta also become a force that can benefit each other mutually. And so become a reciprocal relationship with others who you're with. And there are also some beautiful examples in the sutta that shares about this kind of quality. And so there was this one story about the three monks has been kind of living together as a group. And this is three monks whose names are Anuruddha, Kimbala and Nandiya, who's been practicing together, who's been living together. The Buddha one day went to see them and asking how they're doing. And so they replied to the Buddha and they said that we are all living in concord with mutual appreciation without disputing, blending like milk and water, viewing each other with kindly eyes. And so they're really kind of in a very harmonious, mutually supportive way of living together. And they also explained how they really do this. And so one of them explained that he oftentimes thinks like this. It is a gain for me. It is a great gain for me that I'm living with such companions in the holy life. I maintain bodily acts of loving kindness towards those venerable ones, both openly and privately. I maintain verbal acts of loving kindness towards them, both openly and privately. I maintain mental acts of loving kindness towards them, both openly and privately. And I consider, why should I not set aside what I wish to do and do what these venerable ones wish to do? And then I set aside what I wish to do and do what these other venerable ones wish to do. We are different in bodies, but one in mind. And so that's, you know, kind of just a very beautiful way of kind of living together and mutually supporting each other. And to me, this is not necessarily saying, you know, we all going to look alike and we all going to behave exactly the same. We all have going to have the same ways. But rather, we begin to appreciate each other in ways that we probably weren't doing before. And different people may have different qualities and strengths and weaknesses. But we appreciate each other in ways that allow ourselves to open up more. And in the sutta, it also mentioned that how they kind of live with each other by supporting each other or with sharing the alms food that they brought back, cleaning their quarters so when they come back from the alms food, finish the food, and every 5 days, they get together and discuss Dharma together. And it was quite inspiring to kind of just imagine, you know, how this would be when a community of friends and people get together in that form, you know, viewing each other with kindly eyes. And being able to maintain a sense of loving kindness, both verbally, mentally, verbally, and in their actions. And so you can think of just, you know, it's kind of like the air that we breathe becomes something that is supportive of us moving towards letting go and then full freedom. And as we progress further in terms of developing our capacity to of sila, samadhi, and panya, which is the ethics, concentration, and wisdom, at some point, our heart will become wide open, and so this Kalyanamitta can expand out and become inclusive of all kinds of people that we come in contact with. And so rather than thinking of Kalyanamitta as picking out this person but not that person, as this Kalyanamitta become more mature, we began to be able to meet with all kinds of individuals, all kinds of situations, and still be able to keep a heart that is wide open. And so we began to see the goodness in all kinds of people, you know, even people who might frustrate us. Maybe we turn that as an opportunity for us to be grateful that this is an opportunity for me to practice kindness, practice compassion, practice mindfulness. And so this is a capacity that's really kind of a becoming wide open and more inclusive. At some point, one can become a spiritual friend for others. One can offer one's support for others as well. And so maybe I'll kind of end with this one particular verses from this Mahanama Sutta, where it talks about the individuals who follows the path, engage in their own welfare, but also others' welfare. And so this is the kind of individual who is possessed of a faith, himself or herself, and arouses others to possess faith, is possessed of a virtue, and arouses others to possess virtue, is possessed of liberality himself or herself, and arouses others to possess liberality, and it's a person who hear the true Dharma and arouses others to hear the true Dharma, who is habitually mindful of the Dharma that is heard and arouses others to be mindful of the Dharma, and is certain of the meaning and the benefits of the Dharma that is heard, and arouses others to ascertain the meaning and the benefit. And so on and so forth, and arouses oneself to practice and arouses others to practice as well. And it's a person who is engaged in his own welfare and also in others' welfare. And so in the way that this spiritual friendship is really an ever-expanding circle, and to, over time, become something that can include everyone into this circle of spiritual friendship. And so I'll just end by saying, may all of us be inspired and moved by your spiritual friends. So thank you. Any reflections, experiences that you may have you'd like to share? One second, yeah.
Oh, I think it's really loud.
Yeah, but there's people who are hard of hearing.
Oh, okay, sure.
I have a question about friends. Of course we want to pick and choose our friends, but sometimes we might come upon some very difficult friends who are very difficult. And you don't know whether to protect yourself against their behavior or to remain kind and compassionate towards them and use some discipline yourself and just hang in there for them.
Yeah.
I mean, I sometimes I just don't know. Yeah. I don't know which is the best thing.
Yeah. We don't always know.
No.
And a part of this is, I think, a part of this Kalyanamitta, I consider it itself a practice. So in the sense that it itself is a way for us to, over time, discern what the situation is and how we are whether this is supportive of ourselves and others. And others, as this Kalyanamitta as a practice unfolds, our capacity can change. And so maybe at the beginning, when our capacity of being kind and being compassionate can waver when there are difficult situations and pull us into situations that may be harmful for ourselves,
right,
and others.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then maybe that's the time to say, oh, you know, maybe this is not worthwhile to engage in this way, and because it's not supporting myself and others. And so maybe that's kind of the situation where you can disengage. But just know that our capacity is changing also. And over time, you know, what you thought to be really difficult may not be so difficult.
Right. That sounds very insightful. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you
for the question.
Thank you. None of us are perfect.
Can maybe just have one last comment or question, if there is one.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Ying-Chen, for sharing this evening. You know, specifically, one of the things that I get inspired by are you and Diana and Kim and David forming a team of Kalyanamitta. So could you tell us a little bit about how did you find each other?
Yes. I had to say how we found each other. It's almost mysterious. But we did realize that four of us shared some common interest in exploring suttas. And so we had, in various ways that we connected with each other, maybe not all four of us together, but, you know, one connected with another in certain ways, exploring sutta. At some point, we decided, why don't, you know, four of us just meet and explore this teachings and practice together. And it's been just enormously inspiring and supportive for all of us. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, yeah. And there's one person in the back, yeah.
Hi, thanks for a great talk. So I heard you mentioning that it can be beneficial to have spiritual friends that you don't necessarily like. So my question is, why is that beneficial?
Yeah, so maybe I didn't say it so clearly. So it's not, sometimes a spiritual friendship is not necessarily about likes and dislikes. And so I have had, for example, friends said things I really did not like to hear. Because they're pointing at certain things that maybe I'm in denial of. But it's but what I realized was it was enormously helpful when this was named. Because when it was not named, I was kind of in the dark denial. But when it's named, I began to have a process to really accept it and open to it. And so, as in the sense, the spiritual friendship is not necessarily about likes and dislikes. You may have teachers that you feel like, oh, you know, I'm not really sure that I can be with a teacher like this, because I met a teacher who's really strict. And I'm like somewhat eerie with being there. But sometimes they are really good for us. And they can be a form of a spiritual friends for us because they're highlighting certain areas that we may not have opened up to in other ways. Yeah. Well, I think it's time. Thank you so much, everyone. Have a great night.